Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
This is Trendish.
And we're so glad you're here to witness the whole thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
Welcome to another episode of... You know what's ironic is every time... So Jamie is newly in Iowa. Seahawks, is that what they are?
Hawkeyes. Good try, though. I mean, you were kind of close.
Hawkeyes fan. And literally any time I have watched a game, they've lost.
Oh my gosh.
It's so true.
Why didn't you remind me?
I have watched three games. I have watched Iowa play three times, and they have lost every time, which is probably why I don't care about them, because I'm like, I don't know what you guys are all talking about. They're not great. I walked in at halftime today knowing they were going to lose. Remember? I said, they're losing this game.
I literally am so mad.
I don't know if they're like a superstitious sports person where that stuff matters, but every time I've watched them, they've lost. Horrible defeats. This was actually the least horrific defeat that I've witnessed, and I've witnessed all of them.
I mean, Indiana should have won this game. They played
well. They
better.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other games, it was pretty horrible because they really shouldn't have lost. But so I don't know if I want to blame this one on me. I think they just didn't show up tonight.
Well, I need you to not watch on Sunday when I'm there live in person.
You bet. You can bet I won't.
Okay. Great.
I don't even have that kind of cable.
Peacock.
Is it on, like, National, whatever it's called?
Yeah.
Network, whatever?
Yeah, no, you can... Yep.
No.
This is what's wrong with them. Women's sports, everyone.
I don't know. I won't.
Okay. Well, it's been a while. What's new? Anything you want to share?
Everything. Nothing on air.
It reminds me of that moment in Bridesmaids. I love to say it, where Maya Rudolph is like, does anybody else have anything they want to share today? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yes and no. What's new with you? How's Pigpen?
Pigpen is doing pretty good. I think I'm just resigned to the fact that, like, she has food aggression.
Yeah, she does.
So, like...
But that's her only problem, really.
I know, but it's like, I don't want her to be around kids.
You know, when she's eating.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, if you bring her to your house, do not feed her.
Yeah.
You put up Nugget's food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She goes for it, man. She knows yeah. right when
I Oh, my gosh.
Too.
One time when I was at home this Christmas, I told my parents multiple times, put Maggie's food away. And they didn't. And so Penny, the second she gets in my house... just, like, beelines it for the food and is, like, throwing up.
She can
up.
Smell it, like, a million miles away.
She's, like, yeah, throwing she's up good. Because she's eating it so fast. And my parents are like, do you just need to, like, feed her more? Or, like, multiple times a day?
No, it doesn't matter. I've witnessed it. Even oh my you could have. I've just fed her before and then brought her to my house. Mm-hmm. And she's just chowing down on Nugget's food like she hasn't mm-hmm. eaten in her whole life. So, no, I get that.
So, Pigpen is pretty good. Other than that, there's not a lot to write home about. I'm very grateful for the spring weather.
It's starting to get beautiful out again, which is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I just have nothing. I mean, it's just a spring, you know? Traditionally not my best time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a common theme for you?
Looking back, historically.
I don't think I would have known that. I don't know if I have a theme of, like, when I'm not great.
Well,
it's just felt like I'm
yeah,
never
you do.
Great.
Yeah, you do.
Wait, what's my theme?
I think you're just, like, slowly breaking that theme, but yeah, you have.
I'm trying so hard to break it.
If I'm, like, your boss or kind of anyone else in your life, they would be nodding their head with me at this theme.
What is it?
It's, like, it's just kind of funny to say that because, like, it typically is, like, not, like, spring.
Is when I'm bad?
Yeah, you're just ready to move on. You know.
Yeah, now that you say that.
Give up.
I feel freer than a bird.
I know. I just said I think you might be breaking it, which is great. Let's speak that into the rest of our lives. But for you, I think maybe you're getting out of it now.
I think you are doing good work. You've just had a lot of stuff happening.
Stuff.
But it's not for lack of, like, intentionality on your part.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm doing everything I can, you know? You have to. That's what's new.
What?
I'm doing boxing now and jujitsu. And I'm scrappy on that mat.
And you told me to do it, and I said, I don't want to.
I And to be honest, after last night's class...
You didn't even want me there.
I could see you now loving it.
I don't want to.
I was like, if I was just like posted up on Jamie like this for an hour, she would not be interested. So I have to do it with a stranger. I'm just like laying on a stranger for an hour, praying to God she figures out how to get out from under me.
It's best. I'm like, please. Honestly, it's like you're an adult wrestling.
Or adult other things. Oh. I'm really being honest. I'm like, wow. Keep your mind out of the gutter.
Do you know
sister.
Anybody there?
Not a soul.
That's probably best.
No, it is. I love it. It's great. It's actually why I started doing both things. And I don't have to lead anything because I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Well, boxing I know a little bit, but I still don't know, like, in depth. So I just never, but especially jiu-jitsu. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. They're like, how are you going to get out of this? I'm like, I don't know. But actually, I'm pretty, honestly, I've caught on to it pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty quick with it. Not great, though, but. So, no, I don't know anyone at any of those classes. And I barely know what I'm doing. I don't have to lead anything. And it's very refreshing. But it's also a great workout. Well, jiu-jitsu is kind of more in the mind, but boxing is a great workout. Mm-hmm. So that's new.
Yeah. I don't think those are for me. I would be more interested in boxing.
I think you might like the box. It's not true. It's like more of the cardio boxing, except when I go at 5:30
like
in the morning.
Where you're like kind of like jumping the whole time.
Yeah. Well, some people don't even. Okay. They're just like punching the whole time. I'm like, I think you're doing it wrong. But... You know, whatever.
Yeah,
here
you're not
there.
The leader.
Yeah, so. I'm not. I'm like, I don't have to look at you. I just have to look at my bag and do my what they're yelling at me to do.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Don't care about the rest of you. So that's great. But it's more like cardio. My 5:30 a.m. classes have a pro boxer who facilitates those ones. And it's like two of us.
He's still a pro boxer?
He just like retired from like the boxing Olympics or whatever. Mm. I think the last time they had it. Maybe the time before that.
Yeah.
Now he's a pilot. But
that feels so random.
He's
me.
Like really good. Really good. The other ones are like, okay, you're like yelling at people and like making them, you know, basically do like cardio workouts. But he like actually knows what he's doing. So he just made me just, he just drilled me the entire hour. And the one other guy who was there.
You and one guy.
It was me and one guy and the pro boxers. So he
That's
just.
That's it? Yes. You were the only people in the class?
Yes. Did you miss that one?
Yeah, I did. I thought like
well, welcome if the rest of you missed it too. It is at 5:30 in the morning. It is me, this other guy.
That feels like an individual session.
It was, which was great. I was like, wow, I paid for so cheap. Well,
you didn't pay anything.
I didn't. Well, no, I did. I mean, I paid to go to the classes.
You said they're free for like the first seven.
Yeah, I thought that.
Oh, they're not?
I can't figure it out, but I never got them for free, so I just started my trial or my membership or whatever.
Okay.
So, like, but all in all, awesome. I'm, like, going to a class and I basically get personal training.
Okay, so do you ever think about, like, what you'd be doing in another life?
Yeah, that.
Is that it?
Yeah. Like, teaching, some type of fixing class. Not, like, Pilates. I'm not doing those fitness classes. You know, that's not me. Mm-hmm. But, like, something
it's
like this.
It's a little too calm for you.
Yeah. No, something more, like, or the cycling ones, you know, when those girls do.
Yes.
Those are intense.
I miss cycling.
Those are hard. I miss it. You know what's crazy is you could go right back to it. It's not a long-lost lover. It's just...
I don't...
you could just start it up again.
I know, but right now I'm trying to pay for therapy, so...
Yeah, well, you know what? That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm paying for all of it, and my bank account feels it.
Well, so. I literally don't have anything else I can do, so...
Yeah, what would you be in another life?
Well, that's what I'm trying to think. Like, it changes daily.
Yeah, for you, I believe that.
Yeah, I'm like, in one life, I'm like a painter. And in the other life, I'm a WNBA player.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know how practical we were being about.
Oh, there's no practicality. I'm talking, like, dream. You know, like, anything. In another life, I'm like a therapist for Halsey.
I was just about to say, well, if we're, like, just dreaming, I would do, like, personal training for the famous people. Remember I wanted to do that?
Yeah, I do.
In college?
Yep. I remember that. We used to talk
the
about
the things
it.
We think in college. Like, I mean, I could still do that in my life.
It's oh, or you. They just tell you to
shoot
go
big,
after
dream for the stars.
And then you end up at Starbucks. There's no shame. There is absolutely no shame.
No, not at
but
all.
But that is not the message you hear.
No.
From
like
most people.
I think it's Andy. I can't remember who it is. I think it's Andy Stanley. He says, like, your 20s are for paying your bills. Mm-hmm. And, like, paying off your debt. Like, that is what your 20s are for. your 30s are to like build a foundation, and your 40s are to dream, and like your 50s and 60s are to build a legacy. And I'm like, if that the rest of again. I like never talk about legacy in my whole life except on this podcast, apparently.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe I had just heard that the last time I was talking about legacy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was like, we need to be, more of us need to be set free in that understanding, you know?
Yeah. I will say, I feel like my 30s have been paying the bills.
And my 20s. Honestly, like, it was probably 15 years ago he even said that. So we all might be back a decade. Like, maybe now the 40s are the foundation.
I felt a lot freer in my 50s are a dream.
Yeah.
I appreciate my 30s more.
Yeah. No, I would say that's not true. You were just paying your bills in your 20s. I think you're like more so like looking for foundations to build in your 30s. You are still like, even though I make fun of you, kind of early 30s. So I think you should be giving yourself some grace. It's not like you're 38. And
thank God. You know, it's fine if you are 38. Like, there's no problem. There's no problem. You're
really bad.
But I just, you know, I'm not there yet. So.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today? This legacy?
Yeah. Well, no, but it kind of leads to that where we're talking about like expectations.
Wow. And what a great segue, Andrea. I mean, pat on the back.
I mean, it just happens, you know?
Yeah. It's good.
So expectations and also like handling life not going the way you thought it would. Either of those you want to start with?
Oh, they feel the same to me.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
I thought they were the same. So maybe you should start and decipher the differences for us.
Well, I mean, I guess let me start by asking, like, where did you think you would be when you were 20 at this age now?
Because when I was 20,
not where I thought I would be.
No, I mean, when I was 20, I literally probably thought I was going to be personal, like what I just said, a personal trainer for celebrities in like Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Or I thought I was
you're like going to like live in Nicaragua.
There was that season too. Or I was like some mega church pastor.
Yep.
Or I think those were probably the three. Somewhere overseas, somewhere working with celebrities, or somewhere as a mega church pastor. To be honest, just grateful that actually none of those came into fruition. I wouldn't, my character wouldn't be ready for any of those things.
Yeah. When I was like 21, I don't even think I wanted a degree. I think I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
21? Is that when you graduated?
Yeah.
You had a degree.
Yeah, but like that time, I was like, I just want to like get married and have, like, be a stay-at-home mom. That was the
really?
Yes, isn't that crazy?
I like knew you. I don't remember you ever talking about. So was that just deep down?
Well, maybe it was more like 20.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe it was like before I knew you.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't tracking for me.
But I did. And I mean, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So like that was like really what I knew.
Yeah.
And then early grad school, end of undergrad, it was like, I'm going to go work in war-torn countries and work with women that have trauma.
Yeah, that's more what I remember. This must have been when I stepped in.
And then by the time I graduated from grad school, I was like, I want to go work in the music industry and help artists get out of, like, depression.
Yep.
And then, like, I went through depression, so it was like, wow, you can do both. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And now I'm here where I'm like, huh, I didn't expect any of these. And I don't hate it.
Yeah, no. Like, but you, I mean, I think you can know what you, like, want, maybe, when you're, like, 20. And some really do. They follow that path their whole life. That's great. Kudos to them. But I also think, like, no one really knows what they need at 20, you know? That's, like, sometimes the danger of getting married so young, too. Like, you may think you know what you want, but you're not really developed enough to know what you need. Not that you shouldn't. I mean, I got married at, like, 12, so there are pros and cons to all sides.
Yes.
But I just think, like, if I really look back now, a decade later, I'm like, I had so much trauma. That little skinny 20-year-old had no idea, with probably an eating disorder.
Huh?
Yeah. Had no idea what she actually needed in life. No way.
Well, it's, I mean,
but it got you. Got us here. So.
Continuing in the expectations, though, like, I surely didn't think I would still be single at 32.
Yeah, sure. And I wanted to be. Isn't that hilarious? Isn't that so annoying?
It is.
Like,
it really, yeah, it is.
It really, I'm like, oh, I don't even think I'm going to, like, think about getting married until I'm, like, 35. I remember, and I may have just said it to make her mad, but I remember when I was, like, 12 or something. I don't know. But I remember, like, defiantly telling my mom, I was like, I am not getting married, and I'm not having kids. Like, I was so defiant about it. I really, looking back, kind of think it was just to make her mad, because I knew it would, and it did. She was like, why? You know, made such
a... Oh, yes. I can just hear Angela Perry.
But I just decided that.
But the thing is, like, I'm not sad to be single, and you're not sad to be married.
No. I'm not sad to be married. Sometimes being mom, I'm sad about. The mom part is a little hard. Well, so is the marriage part, but, like, the mom part is, like,
that's a wow, lot. I can't believe I mean, I'm doing that. That is a 24/7 job. Sometimes I'm like, okay,
alongside my other 24/7 job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's not for the faint of heart, but.
Did you go through any, like, I don't know, like, self-reflection when you realized, like, oh, this is literally not what I expected, and I still have to, like, show up?
Oh, yeah, when I got pregnant with Liam. Don't you remember?
I mean, yeah, I just want you to talk about it.
Oh, sure. I was like, are you meaning to ask about this?
I am, yeah.
Sure, I kind of forgot we're recording. Yes, I did. When I was, what, like 23, I think, when I got pregnant with Liam, or maybe 24, I can't remember somewhere if I did the math. Mm-hmm. And I had a pretty demanding job at the time. And John and I were married for like a year. Like 365 days. And we were 12, like I said. So I think I was 23, actually, when I actually got pregnant with him. And that was not a planned... Even though we were married, I was still like, we're not having kids for like 5 years. Maybe I'll think about it when I'm 30, you know. So still not in the cards for us.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And then, to be honest, that probably really kickstarted the depression that I really already probably had. Mm-hmm. I don't think that caused it.
Exposed it.
But wow, that really exposed it. I was like, God has forsaken me. And I really believed it.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah. And if you're ever listening to this one day, Liam, it is not anything because of you.
We love you,
we
Liam.
We love you. It has nothing to do with you. But wow, talk about life not going your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was just the hardest. It was the hardest season mentally. It was the most demanding season in that job as well. It never came down after that. I just, like, lived on this. And then you become a mom, and you're still living on this adrenaline kick of life and just mass chaos. Mm-hmm. And it just never, it never came down until it did.
Everybody sharing their opinions.
Mm-hmm. On not just parents, on all things.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ministry. I would say probably I was more in ministry at the time, full-time ministry. So yeah, you get a lot of opinions. And to be fair, like, I probably needed them. I was 24.
It's wild.
I was 24.
Yeah, it's wild.
Having a kid and doing, like, the job that I had at the time, which I guess for people listening, I should say, like, was basically sending college students all around the world to do missions.
To lead themselves.
I'm, like, sitting here trying to lead myself. I don't have a single person leading me. I don't know what I'm...
Yeah. No, you didn't have
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting anxiety thinking about Oliver again. Uh-huh. So, yeah. I have absolutely lived in that long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it did. I was just, like, remembering the moment when, like, I actually called that you were pregnant.
Oh, yeah, when I was talking on the phone? Yeah. Yes, I remember. I was standing in the chat. Oh, yeah.
I remember where I was, too.
And I was still just really in denial at that point. I was like, I am. But, like, I don't think I can be. It's like, no, you really can. It was, oh, my gosh. But it was also so bittersweet. Like, John and I think, had... It was so much more, like, genuine being parents that first time around. Mm-hmm. You, like, kind of feel bad when, like, the second one comes.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Even ones after that, it's like, okay, not that you were not anything special, but, I mean, just different. Just, I don't know how to, like, it's just different.
Everything yeah. into it. Nothing.
And he was in the NICU for, like, a week, too, yeah, so we true. Had that, like, I mean, just trauma built on trauma.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, we were, like, all over him. Poor guy. And then his brother comes around.
Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah, now he's, like, you've just, like, gotten... starving for attention.
I know. It's hard. It is hard.
So how did you get yourself through that?
Oh, I didn't even know I was in it. I think that's the weird thing about that stuff, like about really like depression or the missed expectations of life. At least for someone like me or my personality, I didn't even, to me, it was like, just keep pushing, like just keep going. You can't stop. Too many people are relying on you.
Feels right for you.
Yeah, you do not have time to sit in whatever this is. Mm-hmm. And I really believed that at the time. And then it catches up to you. So I think the trajectory was I started therapy and started realizing maybe some of my core beliefs aren't normal. Mm-hmm. It was like literally the first time I thought that. And then COVID hit. Mm. So like that's just a statement everyone could say. Mm-hmm. But I am still doing that job.
Yep.
And just disappointing more people every day along the way.
Who are you disappointing?
Well, I mean, the pandemic was, but I was the bearer of all the bad news, you know?
Sure.
Which, looking back, is like, it's so small, but just in that season of life and at the time where people were, it just wasn't to
them. I mean, it never feels small when you're in it.
No, I mean, you only know your perspective, yeah, your experience, what you're going through. So, in retro, like, looking back, sure, I can think that, but in the moment,
yep,
that's what it was, everything to those people, mm-hmm, too. So, pushed through that. And then, oh, I remember that's what it was. I was, like, thinking, I don't know if this is a podcast I want to talk about this on, but I think it was, like, the, you might have to cut part of this out because I'm trying to remember exactly which one it is. That saying, I don't think it's the measure of success is obedience.
Rachel is the person that.
Yeah, but I don't think there's, like, a different one, too. Yeah, it might have been that. So, like, then there was always this saying that I would hear that, I guess this is going to be very controversial to, mm-hmm, I don't know who's listening to this, but the measure of success is obedience. And I just was like, I just keep being obedient. I just have to keep, mm-hmm, like, doing this. And then what I'll say about that statement in a second is very different. But at the time, I really still believed that. And then I just remember feeling like I was saying, like, what if obedience is, like, you leaving? And I was like, you are going to make me leave after what I feel like was one of the biggest, yeah, failures. Like, you're not even going to give me, yeah, 1 year of, like, redemption or, yep, like, one season to turn it around. Or, like, you're just going to make me leave in the middle of this.
Yep.
Like, despair. Mm-hmm. And I did. And that was really hard. So.
Yeah. So, what do you think about
so
that?
So, full circle with that. Mm-hmm. I'm still living in that. And I'm just, I am, because I believe all that to be so true. And I still look back and think, like, that was very much the right decision. My perspective was just, I don't think my theology was fully intact with that. And so, in my mind, it was all these things God did to me. Mm-hmm. So I think my measure of expectation, like, kind of what you're asking about, is a lot of, it has been a lot more spiritual, like, in a spiritual walk for me, mm-hmm, than maybe other, what this means for other people. But for me, it was like, I just can't believe you keep doing this to me over and over and over. You made me get pregnant when I didn't want to. You made me leave this job when I didn't want to. As if I had no control over my life. Mm-hmm. Or like I wasn't doing, like I didn't have a free choice to be doing things that led to all of that too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I really believe that statement, the measure of success is obedience. And so as long as I believed that, I believe everything else to be true. Like, well, here I am just being obedient. And the bad things keep happening. Mm-hmm. That's all dramatic, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, fast forward, I don't know, 5 years later. And I was talking that statement with someone else. And because it was really, I mean, that could have almost like wrecked my spiritual formation, honestly. And then I just remember her saying, like, that is so untrue. Like, the measure of success is obedience. Like, the measure of success is relationship. The measure of success is not, do you do what I want you to do when I want you to do it? That's compliance. And compliance isn't relationship.
And knowing who she is now,
it makes sense, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because she just gave it to me straight, and I was, yeah, not ready, because we weren't even talking about that. I was just saying that, yeah, sentence, yeah. I went up and she was like, wait, because this is what we were talking about. So she's like, wait, I need to backtrack, say that again. Mm-hmm. And I said it, and the more, I guess I just needed someone to say that does not have to be true for me to be like, I actually don't know if it is, because like, you read, I think in Matthew 7, where it's like, I did all these things in your name, mm-hmm, but Christ says, get away from me, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. So I can be thinking that I am just being obedient, and it's success. But if my heart was never to know you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that can't be true. Both of those things can't be true. My actions and behavior do not determine what is successful,
yeah,
and what's not.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know how I got on that tangent, but...
What a journey.
That was a journey. And I think some various things in my life, but especially things like that, really shaped, like, wow, I... Just life is very different than what I thought it would be.
Yeah. Isn't it fascinating that, like, you blame God at every turn?
Mm-hmm.
And I blame myself at every turn?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting that, like, our realities are can be similar,
mm-hmm.
but who we blame is just vastly different.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah. I really don't blame God for a lot of the things that have happened in my life.
I know. If there's one very true thing about you, as wild as your emotions are and as interesting as, you know, those roller coasters are for you, somehow your faith is, like, the most steady, I mean, just never wavering. It's like, God, he's good. He's sweet. Like, okay. Okay.
I mean, he's just there. I think I've never questioned that because, like, I very much understand, like, he has always said, like, I never promised it would be easy.
Yes.
And I stand by that. I mean, so much of my life, I've always, like, prioritized the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I've learned more from that and, mm-hmm. like, found more purpose in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm always like, yeah, God is totally in those moments. Like, I'm not gonna be sorry they happen because, like, I feel him in those places.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, why would I be upset at him for allowing these things to happen when in reality, like, I had a big part in those things and it mm-hmm. wasn't necessarily him that caused them. And I mean, it's just interesting the way people process things and where they cast blame and kind of like where the root of their pain is.
Yeah, because in reality, it wasn't really in, I mean, yes, it was some theology I really needed fine-tuning on.
Yeah.
Sure. But in reality, it was people who had disappointed me.
Yeah.
A lot of those things, I mean, getting pregnant with Liam, that's probably one of different, that's yeah, a different yeah. category in itself. But really, if I'm looking backwards, like, so much of my pain and disappointment was in a lot of things that I really didn't have control over that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to blame God yeah. and just let him go silent than actually sit in, wow, I can't believe that person betrayed me.
Yeah.
Like, that is so painful.
Because you have to do something with that. And, like, you might see them again. Whereas, yeah. like, God, I mean, to an extent is, like...
It's easier.
Yeah. He's not arbitrary, but in what we're talking about, like, it's not like you're going to run into him in the hallway and be like, oh, hey, yeah. like, that's never going to yeah. happen. But the people that disappoint you, like, you're going to have meetings with them
yeah.
and you're going to have to report to them
yeah.
and you're going to have to clarify what you said to them and all these different things. And that just doesn't...
Or you're going to have to forgive them.
Yeah.
When you don't think it's warranted. And, like, that is literally a journey in and of itself.
I wasn't ready for you to say that.
I know, I can tell. I'm like, it is easier to blame God
yes.
and get mad at yes. him than forgive. Like, truly go through the process mm-hmm. of, because to truly forgive would also mean you're truly recognizing the pain first.
Yeah.
So, like, just casting
mm-hmm.
the blame, or to recognize the pain first, I mean. But so truly cast the blame is just easier.
Yep.
Way easier than going through the process of, like, I totally understand how that hurt me. And I am, like, choosing now to also forgive you. But never say it to your face. It probably, most more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not even get the last word in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so much harder than just sitting in the...
Shitting.
Yeah. I didn't mean to say that, but yeah, that too. I was going to say sitting in the shame, really, of what yeah. it feels to be like. For me, that pain ends up becoming shame because basically what I tell myself is, I can't believe I let you do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, my protective nature, betrayal is like the absolute, I mean, there's nothing probably that could give me more.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, that's where I blame myself. Like, if I really dig deep, I can't believe I didn't see that coming. I can't believe I let you do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that. So I have to forgive myself before I can even forgive anyone else.
What's fascinating is, like, for me, it's like, I can't believe you see me like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the statement for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that literally makes me want to cry. Because it's like, For you, it's like what they've done to you. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's what they've seen.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, man.
Can you believe we didn't know what we were going to talk about before we started this?
We try to talk about fun things and it just never happens.
What was the question again?
I don't even know. Handling life not going the way you thought.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about expectations?
Well, honestly, a lot of what I guess what a lot of what I was just talking about was really more oriented around the expectation in my head. Mm-hmm. But I guess that was probably more on the spiritual formation side, like what just so many shattered expectations of.
Oh my gosh.
The ways that I wanted God to show up and he just didn't.
Yeah.
Or did, not in the way that I at all wanted him to. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I feel like in some areas I'm like, I really don't know if you did. And I have to be okay saying that. Like, I would rather say that and be honest with you than just, like, lose this, the relationship altogether. And so, for me, that's where I think a lot of expectation is more so. I have never cared really what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Ever. Like, I've never cared, like, what title I have really or, like, the kind of thing I'm doing in life. But I care a lot about making an impact where I am. Mm-hmm. I think I've learned that about myself. Mm-hmm. So for me, the expectation of like how my life unfolds, I've been able to live with any nuance to that piece of it. Mm-hmm. If I still have like the ability to make some kind of impact where I am, even if it's something as small as like, you know, working at, I mean, I've done very small jobs too. Sure. I'm like a CEO right now, but I've done very small things as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like that, those were all fine. I just needed to know that I was like contributing to a bigger impact in that way. That's just for me, who I am, my personality. So I think for me, the pain of expectation comes on more of the spiritual side, like I was saying. Hmm. Anything you want
to
say on it?
Yeah, there is. I just forgot what I wanted to say. Where did you start?
Talking about spiritual formation.
In expectations.
Hmm. Playback.
I know what it is. I think for me, what's interesting about this season where I don't... This is so telling of, like, where I'm at and the things I've been working on in therapy for, I would say, years.
Yeah.
Is I feel like the resounding message for me in this season is not discounting my dream. And, like, I've literally prayed in this season, like... you know, for something, and I'll follow it up by saying like, but if it doesn't happen, or like, and if not, like, you know, I'll acknowledge God's goodness or something like that. And I very clearly like heard him say like, this is not an and if yet season. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a season where you're gonna discount me before I've even shown up. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's easy for us to like do that and assume like God is not going to do the big thing in our life.
Yeah.
And because that's me, like I'm trying to temper expectations. I'm trying to temper like the letdown or the disappointment by saying like, but if that doesn't happen, like I know you're still good. I know you're still God. Or I know like I still have, you know, so much in my corner. Mm-hmm. But I think that has diminished my ability to have faith. Mm-hmm. In like the grand scheme of what that means. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, no, I'm gonna believe that he's actually bigger than like something I can attain myself. Mm-hmm. And that is the season I find myself in, is in terms of like expectations. Like, can I just sit in the expectation that like God is going to show up in a big way, and I don't have to discount or assume he's not, and mm-hmm. like almost like create a safety net if it doesn't happen for mm-hmm. my own disappointment.
Yeah, you want to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Like, totally. I think so much of it is self-protection.
Because it's happened before. Like, mm-hmm. I've had so many moments where, like, I have had the big faith, and I have prayed the big prayers, and taking the big steps, and it either didn't work out or didn't work out the way I thought it would. And I feel like I was like, I mean, I just crashed. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm at a place where I'm like, I don't want to crash. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm okay to fall, but I want it to be a scrape, not a broken bone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in my prayers now, I think that's life, right? Like the older you get, the more you've experienced pain and the more you've experienced like hardship. So you're always kind of bracing yourself for impact.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know, the season I'm in right now, I feel like God is calling me into a place of like, please don't brace yourself for impact. Like, can mm-hmm. you just expect me to do something big and not already be ready for the failure of mm-hmm. what you think I'm gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a scary place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Well, it's countercultural to like culture.
Yeah.
Really, too. Like, not so much the dreaming part. I mean, I think that's a very prevalent, but a dreaming in which like you're not controlling, like that's just pretty countercultural.
Yeah.
To what we're, it's like, you know, be gritty, make it happen, mm-hmm. get there on your own. If you're going to ask God for it, you better do it too. If you're going to ask him, you better do the work. There's just,
yeah,
I can see principles behind that that are true. I also just think like, wow, we are putting a lot of our life in our hands as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I've done all that. I've done the gritty, messy, like I'll put hours of work in. And sometimes I think he's actually asking us the opposite. So,
mm-hmm.
and that's for you to determine. I'm not saying one way is bad or one way is good. I just think it, like, what you're saying is just countercultural to that. Because it's like, mm-hmm. you're not making it happen. You're just trusting that what you want to will. Or that you'll know the steps to make happen. Sure, you might have to, like, do something, but...
Yeah. But I can't take credit at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's so much better, nicer, too.
Yeah, it is. Like, it is nicer.
We'd like to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got myself. Yeah, that's awesome. I made a great decision. Yeah, yeah. I've got awesome discernment. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got myself here. Like, I think that's why, especially in our culture, we would prefer to do mm-hmm. that. It also, again, is so much better with self-protection because, great, now all I have to be mad at is me, not God. Like, if I'm just
Yuck.
Doing, it's true though. Like, if I'm just doing, if I'm doing the grind, if I'm doing the things I need to do and it's not working out, I can blame me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was to actually trust you and doesn't turn out the way I want and it has no effort of my own and it's out of my control, well, now I have to blame. Or I wrestle with blaming you.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
So, safe or not to.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting just given the narrative I very much, like, naturally lean to about, like, failure.
Mm-hmm.
And just that pairing of like, is this failure or did I don't know, not believe God could really do it? Mm-hmm. And just those two realities of like failure and big faith, I just, they're kind of weird to reconcile together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, and I think it really comes down to control too. Like, you're just putting in someone else's.
The longer I'm in management, the more I'm like, it's totally not in my control anyway.
Mm-mm. But if you blame yourself for everything, then you do believe it's in your control, even if your behaviors don't show it. Like, that can't be a core belief of yours, and you also don't think you're in control. Those would contradict if that wasn't there.
This is totally making sense for me.
I don't know what I'm doing. I should just go into a different industry.
Well, I mean, because, like, I want control of everything, uh-huh. right? I'm in an environment where it's like, you have got to keep the reins on these things. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you are going to be asked,
mm-hmm.
why did this happen?
Yeah. And I've got about everything out of my control. In an environment where I control almost nothing. But I react to everything.
So what would your advice be? To, like, wrap us up here. What would your advice be to somebody that's got unvoiced expectations, they're being missed, like, they're maybe unrealistic, like, speak to the person whose expectations are just not aligned?
Wow, well, when you ask it like that, now my mind immediately goes to, like, relationships or, like, work, like, to the practical We could do like a whole part two on like unvoiced expectations as it relates to like job dissatisfaction, disappointment, like relationship issues. So I'm trying not to go there because it's not really where we've been. Do you have something first? It more along the lines of what we're talking about?
No, I literally don't.
Okay, great.
I was hoping you did.
Okay, great. So, yeah. I guess my advice when it comes to that is essentially when life's not going the way you want, is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The best thing I think I could say is to really find perspective. Like, that sounds so simple. But if I'm, like, looking back, it was probably just the very small... When we say community, I mean, like, two people. I think I love the Christian circle's, like, orientation around community.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, like, really practically, Jesus had three close people. And, like, I would say I have two to three close people, and I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think we compare ourselves so much to others in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'm not doing something every... Especially if I'm thinking, like, the younger demographic. Like, well, I'm not doing everything...
Yeah.
Something every night, or I didn't get invited to something on the weekend, or... So I must be...
Yeah.
I really got to, like, build up my community, like... No, you might have to just need to do some self-work, and maybe that's why you're not doing something, like, every single night of every single weekend or single time, and that's a great place to be. But that's also a hard place to be. That's, I guess that's where I say to get perspective. If there was one thing I'm thinking of my 24-year-old self, I would have said, like, get out of the foxhole. We were just talking about this yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, gosh, and I'm not saying that in relation to, like, something I was in, like a job or a place or a location.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when you're younger, and even now, I'm not even as young now, but I can still default to this. You just get in this foxhole where that is all you can see around you, mm-hmm. is, like, your experience, your shame, your perspective, your story.
Yeah.
I needed someone to just validate it for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I needed someone to say, you are not crazy for where you're at. You're also not crazy. You don't want to be here anymore. Like, there is literally a hole right here you can climb out of.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have anyone. Like, I didn't have anyone telling me that, but I also didn't have anyone I was sharing that with.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had been more honest in sharing that, like, I like to think that perspective would have been given to me. So it's, I guess when I say get perspective, I would also give others the perspective of, like, where you actually are. Those who have earned the right, I should say. Yeah. Not everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to speak from an open wound.
Yeah.
To the masses.
Please don't.
Yeah.
If we can say that.
Yeah. Like, I'd actually recommend not. And if you do, if you're like, if you do have some kind of public platform, gosh, the best thing I did was ever set my down. From mm-hmm. the one I had.
Mm-hmm.
I care so much more that I had the character to be there than I did whatever platform it was. Even though that is so much harder. Like, that is such a cute little saying. That is so much harder to actually do and, like, live out in your life. So that's what I would challenge. Like, that platform means nothing if your perspective is so small you can't get yourself out of the foxhole.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say...
It gave me some time to think.
Yeah, no, it was good. I needed that moment. I think I would just say, like, just because your expectations haven't been met doesn't mean that I can't still be good. I think for a while I thought that, like, because my life didn't necessarily take the natural turns that society would have said was normal, that didn't still mean I couldn't have a fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm still young. I consider, you know, the fact that, like, most of my life is still in front of me, and I'm grateful to have that perspective, but, like, you know, I think there are people that would look at the life I have and say, like, that's non-traditional.
It's incomplete.
It's incomplete. Mm-hmm. I'm not married. You know, I'm doing things on my own. Whatever, you know, fill in the blank. So for me, I think I just had to lay down the societal expectations of, like, what a fulfilled life was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when I did that, I realized, like, I actually really like the life I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm living a godly life in the sense that, like, I show up for people. I allow people to show up for me. I have a relationship with God and people. And I am always growing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what else I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think if you're in a place where it's not how you thought it would be, I guess I would just challenge you to lay down that and and ask yourself, like, what could it be if you didn't have these expectations on your shoulders? Yeah. Like, what kind of fulfillment could you feel? What kind of place could you fill for the people in your life? And just see where life takes you.
And also, like, where's the expectation coming from?
Yeah.
Because we're, like, talking about this now as if there's, like, a pretty bow on it. But if I'm speaking real honestly, which I already have probably a little too much so far up until now. But, like, we graduated with people who are doing some, like, huge, like, awesome things. Like, what the world, like, would say huge things. Yeah. Working with huge people. And I could literally look at that and be like, I'm a failure because they lived out the dream they had when we were 20. And I did not.
Yep.
And I also know if I'm in the place that they're at, I would not have the character to sustain it. I don't know what their story was. I don't know how they got there. Mm-hmm. But, like, I have to just look at my lane. And, yes. And I also have to tell myself this. If I wanted that, I am a go-getter enough, I could really go get it. If mm-hmm. I was literally like, John, that's it. We're moving to mm-hmm. New York City. Mm-hmm. I want to do this crazy thing. Okay. Like, we really could.
Yeah.
But I have to get myself out of the comparison trap of, like, is that actually what I'm expecting of myself? Or is that what the expectation that's been placed on me, just the societal pressures, like you're saying, or just the pressures of, you know, the people around you, the friends that you know, how you grew up, whatever it is. And so I think finding a way to free yourself from that as well. Mm-hmm. And for me, the way I freed myself of that was saying, yes, I could.
Yeah.
Like, no one is holding me back.
Yeah.
From doing that. If you want to, you can. You also could have fallen pretty far from pretty high up, and that would have been painful to a lot more than just yourself. Mm-hmm. Who knows how your kids would have turned out? Who knows how your marriage would have turned out? Like, there's so much more to it than that. And so I think, even though I joke about legacy, I do have to constantly keep that perspective in mind, because very easily can shift from what you and I are talking about tonight. Can mm-hmm. very easily be like, mm-hmm. well, so-and-so was able to do that thing.
Yeah.
I guess I should be trying harder.
Yeah. They had the same circumstances as me.
Yeah.
Outwardly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that they're in a different... Okay. Great for them.
Yeah.
Like, I could say at 30, like, I am so happy for them. That mm-hmm. is incredible. I don't want it. I don't need it right now. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. I get what comes with it. And I cannot handle more than what I have at the moment.
Girl, I could talk for a long time about just the level at which you rise... therein the level at which you fall, and just the healthy stepping stones to get there.
Yeah, we want to get up real quick.
Oh my gosh. I would just caution anybody that wants to be that high that quickly. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying I've experienced it to the nth degree, but I've had enough to know, like, it is...
It's not hard. All you think.
No, it's not, and it's hard, and it's lonely, and... I just don't think you have to move that quickly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of life to be lived.
Mm-hmm. I used to say being a leader is, like, one of the hardest things I've done in my life. It's actually not true. If I was just being a leader, like, just choosing to lead, I'd do that naturally. That's actually not. Choosing to be a healthy leader, that is one of the hardest things I have done.
Yeah.
And I still do every day in my life. And I'm not that way every day. But especially the days I choose it, that's the hardest part.
So that's all we got today.
Yeah.
Folks.
And, like, I don't know, an hour ago we had nothing to say. So let me get started.
Jeez. Well, do you know what's trending in your world?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Great. Let's hear it.
Yep. Dermot Kennedy's.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't know I was going to say that.
I should have known.
Oh, my gosh. I love him.
I love it. Like, he went through a weird phase.
He did. It was like poppy, stop. Kind of.
Like, what are you?
I didn't like it.
He was too into the fame.
Talking.
Arguably.
What a great segue.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just went to what the people wanted him to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was like Kiss Me or something. Like, I don't know. Yes. Those songs was just.
Sonder. That whole album. I didn't even listen
so
to it.
So poppy. It was not him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. His like three latest.
So good.
Singles. I guess they're singles. I don't know. Awesome.
Yep. I agree.
I think it's called Lucky, Two Hearts, and is it Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, just 10 out of 10.
They are really
good. Almost didn't turn it on because I was like, it's going to devastate me to hear this, like, poppy tune.
Yeah.
And then I played, like, the first, 8 seconds, and I was like, oh my gosh.
I know. He's back.
Oh my gosh. This is so great.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's turning in mine.
Well, I am reading a book right now.
You're like 9,000 page one or something?
No, I finished that like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Normal. Recommended by one of our pastors. And it is called Eternal. I'm still trying to decide if it's like Christian or not. I can't.
Our pastor. What? Tabby. I don't know if... Oh.
Pastor's wife.
Sure. Well, sure, but I didn't even hear her recommend that. Okay.
It's a novel, so I don't think it would be like up your alley.
Got it. I was like, I have never heard of
but
this.
But the reason I would think like maybe up your alley is because it's set in the 1930s in Italy.
Mm.
So it's like at the start of Mussolini's reign.
Mm.
And it's a love triangle of these like three teens. Teens, like early 20s-ish. But one of them's fascist, one of them's not, the other one's not. And they all like... She's like in the middle of these two guys, and it's basically like we've known each other our whole lives. And one of them, she like literally can't marry because of the new race laws. One of them, she can, and it's just very interesting. I love historical fiction like that.
Yeah, I did like that one I read.
Which one?
Remember that historical fiction? We looked it up like one of the last times we recorded. Already forgetting what it was. Yeah, that one. What was that called?
I don't think you would call that historical fiction. I think it was science fiction.
No, you looked it up and you said, Anj, this is historical fiction. Because I tried to call it like a memoir. What did I try to call it? Some weird...
We're talking about Matt Haig, right?
Yeah. I tried to call it some weird fantasy. I tried to call it fantasy
novel.
Yeah,
I think it was sci-fi.
Remember? No, it was historic. When you looked it up, it was called historical fiction. That's when I was like, wow,
was
I guess
it
I like...
Was it How to Stop Time?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one. Midnight Library was the other one.
Yeah.
I think Midnight Library was science. No, that wouldn't seem right. It was a historical fiction novel when you looked it up.
We're about to find out.
We, like, just did this. I'm living in deja vu.
No, I know. I know we did. And I know it wasn't historical fiction. Fiction, science fiction, and fantasy.
Oh, what? You yeah. said historical. I'm going to no. play it back. I'm going back to our
old
episode.
Well, good, because you never play it back.
You don't. People are like, remember when you said this? I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Anyway, I'm not even halfway done with the book yet, but I'm very much in.
But you like it enough to, it's trending.
Yeah.
So, there it is.
There it is. Well, join us next time. I think we're going to be talking about anger.
Oh.
And there's a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Can't wait.
Just go ahead and DM your questions to us if you have them.
Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you.